New research from the United Nations finds America's freedom to protest is under attack, and that right to freedom of assembly in the public square and in the workplace was eroding even before President Donald Trump took office. Journalist Michelle Chen wrote about this in The Nation, and she spoke with KCSB's Lisa Osborne about her findings.
So the Special Rapporteur for Freedom of Assembly for the United Nations monitors freedom of assembly rights around the world, and his name is Maina Kai, and his post is ended, but he concluded with one of his final country reports that America's right to protest, which is kind of enshrined in our Bill of Rights, it's freedom of assembly, is essentially being undermined in large part by the current administration, but he also sort of placed it in the context of eroding civil liberties and civil freedoms in general over the past several years. So, you know, he goes back in history and then brings it up to the current state of affairs, where you have a presidency that is characterized by really authoritarian tactics and doing things that are rather unprecedented in terms of suppressing protest by certain marginalized groups.
And what are some of the anti-democratic enforcement tactics that they listed in this report?
So he talked principally about generally the basic right to protest, which are things like, you know, just going out and marching in the streets. So they focused on Black Lives Matter and how they have faced a lot of, hostile reaction from police, but also looked at Trump's rhetoric and found that to be fairly oppressive and alienating for many groups, which ends up being sort of a de facto deterrent for a lot of protests, because if you're creating a general political climate of hostility against marginalized groups, they're frankly just not going to feel very safe and secure exercising those rights, even though they may exist on paper. So in practice, it has a kind of a chilling effect on free speech. And free assembly is related to free speech, but in many ways it's more powerful because it involves people building movements together and, you know, collaborating and doing direct actions in their communities in a way that can be very empowering when people are, you know, given the right to exercise their freedoms in full. When it's curtailed, it can be really harmful in every aspect of our lives. Another thing he focuses on is the National Labor Relations Act and workplace protections, because the freedom to start a union is also a key free assembly right that is often forgotten about, especially in this country, because unions are generally pretty weak. But as far as labor organizing goes, I mean, that is the right to freedom of assembly embodied there, the right to band together with other people at your workplace. And if your employer is given sort of a blank check to union bust, demonize your campaign, or retaliate against workers who are trying to stand up for their rights, then that has a, first of all, that's anti-democratic, but it not only harms free assembly rights, but it undermines all the other rights that go along with that, you know, whether it's the right to fair wages, the right to be free from discrimination, and the right to exercise your own individual freedom of speech.
So how are some states or cities cracking down on people more? Have they passed laws?
I mean, some states have passed laws that are limiting, you know, free assembly in various ways. Like, for instance, they might pass a public nuisance law that is, you know, criminalizing essentially various forms of protest. Like, you know, they'll say, okay, you can't protest in a way that interferes with the use of public space in a certain way. So that means, like, you know, doing a sit-in in the middle of a park automatically becomes an offense that you can be arrested for. You know, the forms of peaceful protest are turned into crimes, essentially. So a number of states, you know, have passed dozens of laws in recent, in the last few months since the election, really, curtailing in ways, you know, both obvious and maybe more subtle curtailing the ways that you can exercise your right to be in the public square and express yourself. I mean, we might look at a law that restricts our right to, interfere with the right to block a street as something that's fairly harmless. But what that does is, next time there's a Black Lives Matter protest that involves, doing a sit-down protest in the middle of traffic, that means the cops can sort of drag them away and, essentially mistreat them with impunity in some cases when police have that kind of political clout. So, it's a very slippery slope here.
And I think you also mentioned that there's now it's required that you need to give advance notice if you're going to have a protest.
That's been pretty routine for many, many years now. But, you can argue also that is directly undermining your free assembly rights. That really removes a lot of the spontaneity and, culturally speaking, just a lot of the energy, that goes into any organizing effort when that's being diverted into, pre-planning, working things out with police, getting the right permits, having to pay fees and go through all this red tape. I mean, that is really detrimental to movements overall. And creating a political climate in which there's so much burden being placed on people who simply want to exercise their right to protest. I mean, that's pretty devastating in the long term. We might not notice it when it's just protest by protest and rally by rally, but, overall, when we slowly sort of start to get scared, start to get deterred and discouraged from being out there in the open and expressing ourselves, that leads to a public space in which democracy is no longer freely practiced, even if it exists technically in the law books.
Did you mention that there are anti-protest bills that we might need to be watching for or be aware of?
In various states, there's always legislation being proposed. There are links in the article that can take you to places that sort of track these things. But, I know South Dakota has been passing laws lately that restrict the use of, protesters that might impact things like protesting, things like Standing Rock, right? And these other sort of, and indigenous land, right, disputes and doing environmental protests. So there are all these little sort of perniciously worded pieces of legislation that seem very targeted, but they put us on a slippery slope towards curtailing free assembly.
So for those who, as much as they dislike President Trump being in the White House, he has had this effect of uniting people in protest. So would you say that that might be a good thing in the end because people are now standing up for what they want to happen?
Well, I suppose it's good in the sense that you're making, lemonade out of lemons. But, depending on whether you're a glass half full or half empty kind of person, we're looking at pretty dark days ahead in terms of the state of democracy in this regime. And we know that things like free speech are under attack. We know that protections like the Civil Rights Act are under attack. Freedom of assembly is essentially embodying our right to mobilize a resistance to all these things. If Trump's trampling on those rights are getting us all to recognize them more and wanting us to band together more, then that can be a good public good in and of itself. That doesn't make it any less challenging to do.
That's Michelle Chen, contributing writer for The Nation, talking about her story, America's Freedom of Protest is Under Attack. You can read it at thenation.com.